I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network,
home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Hey everyone, welcome to Bookish. I'm George Dimrell. This is a show where we ask you what's your story and what does it say about you. Today on the show, we have the Instagram and TikTok sensation known as the Air Fryer Guy, who has recently published a book titled Pimp Your Air Fryer. Jake Griggs, it's a pleasure to have you on.
Hello, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, no, I love I'm slightly biased because I saw this book coming out, Pimp Your Air Fryer, and I am a very big convert to the air fryer, although not as much as my mum. So my elderly Greek mum, she is the biggest fan ever. She was against it, and then she came around and she absolutely loves it. So look, that's probably partially the reason I'm having you on, Jake, I'm going to be honest.
Well, thanks to your mum. I appreciate that. It's good to say she's come around.
Yeah. Like, you know it's good when you're getting an elderly Greek grandma to come on board and be like, this is great. So, yeah.
That's right. There's a lot of change involved, you know. So, from all the traditions, I mean, they didn't traditionally have air fryers like, 50 years ago.
No, in Kalamata, on a mountain in Kalamata, you're right.
That's right.
I guess starting off, because I don't know a whole lot about your background either that led to this. So, did you want to maybe give everyone a bit of an update on what led to you becoming this figure, I guess?
Sure. Well, first of all, Instagram sensation. That sounds so nice. I don't truly believe it, but I mean, okay. It's a great descriptive word that I'm happy to be a part of. All right.
Okay. So.
But I come from a music background, so I used to be a musician in a band called Something with Numbers back in the day, and then I just stopped doing music and just started doing furniture removals and that sort of thing and doing nothing, just nesting, just doing regular life for quite a number of years. And then one day at Christmas, I was with my family and my nephew, Nate, he was just glued to the screen on this thing and I was on his phone and I was like, oh, what's that, mate? And he's like, oh, it's TikTok. And I had a look and I was like, oh, that looks a bit silly, And he's like, it's not silly, it's the best. And I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. He's like, Uncle Jay, can you be TikTok famous? Because I'm just like, oh, mate, really? Out of all the things you asked me, that's what you want? He's like, please be TikTok famous. So I was like, okay, all right, I'll give it a go. So I just started making silly videos, as everybody does, just random videos of being in the garden, and I don't know what I was doing. Until one day I put my wedding ring into the air fryer and waited till my wife got home and saw her reaction, and she got very angry, and that video blew up. So, and so then I just started putting other things in the air fryer, like random stuff, TV remotes and anything you can imagine. I don't know, just for a laugh. Like at this point, I wasn't even cooking,
Yeah.
And then one day I just thought, I love air frying and I love cooking. So I was like, why don't I just actually make a cooking video? So I made a video. It was just simple. I thought it was just simple where it's a bacon and egg on toast, but all made at the same time. So just you put the bread and the egg and the bacon all together, all uncooked, put it in the air fryer and then pull it out after 7 minutes and it's done.
What?
Yeah, just like that. And I thought that was just normal. I thought that's how everyone cooked. Because I basically my whole life is just trying to find the quickest way to get to the end result.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I made that video, and just before I posted it, just because I'm always singing in my head, I just did a little song that said, if you got no time in the morning and you want to make a beautiful breakfast, I just started singing. Just random, you know. Posted the video, and then boom, it just blew up. And so from then on, I'm like, all right, I'm going to cook in the air fryer like I always do, but I'm going to sing the recipes. And then it's led us to the fact that I've got a cookbook now, which is wild.
Hilarious. Yeah. That really is wild. Okay. That is what a journey. I love how like it combined actually some of the stuff you were doing earlier, came back with the music and stuff into making it work.
Yeah, and it's not one of those things where you set out and go, look, I'm going to make recipes and sing. Like, it's all like anything, I reckon anything magical is accidental. That's what I believe. Like, I think all the great ideas are accidents. So, you know, this one was one of them. Maybe not a great idea, but it's an okay idea.
Yeah. Well, look, it's worked. It's got you some, you got a cookbook out of it, which is pretty impressive.
Yes.
Was that how long was the gap? I'm just curious now for myself, the gap between like when you finished, when you kind of went into regular life, as you said, you know, nested, was that a few years in that, or like, was it kind of from the band to that, I guess?
Yeah. I feel like it was like 5 to 10 years for sure. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Like a massive gap. Like I'd just given up on all that sort of stuff. I mean, the band went pretty good. Like we were nominated for an ARIA and we played like all the big festivals and tour of the world and that sort of thing. Like we had a good run. But
man, what do you mean? This is the greatest second run ever. I love this so
much. It's a lucky little second chance at bit of notoriety.
Yeah. Something a little bit different. So is that yeah, so I find that super interesting, especially like I think a lot of journeys with artists, like actually you're in a unique position because you have like some sort of, I guess, street cred or whatever we want to call it now, bringing out a book and that, you get to be an insight into like how, you know, you get to somewhere and then you kind of go and nest and all that. And then it like, I think a lot of people forget about that part of the whole artist journey a little bit, and there's nothing wrong with it at all. So like, is that something you felt was a natural progression, I guess, before the current trend that you're on?
Yeah, look, I'd given up. Like, I went through a big identity crisis. Like, because basically from when I was a teenager till when the band finished, that's all I lived and breathed. Like, and if you want something to succeed, you have to be pretty damn passionate about it, especially in music, you know. And that's who I was. I was the band guy, the guy in the band, you know. That's all I knew. And then when that stopped, I just didn't know who I was. So it took me quite a lot of years just to, I don't know, feel normal again, you know? And once I finally did, then now I'm doing this. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty funny. Was that, yeah. Is that, like this could go dark. I don't know. This is like, yeah. Oh no, he's got it high on all his air fryer fame. Oh no, the notoriety got to him.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess we can talk about something, but I just find this super interesting because like, so was that journey there? Because I think that's something a lot of people, again, should hear more about because it doesn't get as talked about, I guess, because most artists who are well known aren't at that phase. So they haven't gone through that part. Was the decision to pull away from the music, was that something that, like the band chose together? Was it something you just weren't feeling it anymore, which led you to kind of put it on the back burner?
I just felt like it was time, you know. I felt like we'd done all that I possibly could and dedicated my life to it, and I got to a certain point. I just didn't think that I could get any further, and I just didn't want to be that guy who was like still trying at something, still trying to flog a dead horse, if you know what I mean. So I thought I'd just quit while I was at a good spot, you know, which was really, really hard. It's like, but ultimately it was the right thing to do because you've got to let go at some point, you know what I mean?
100%. That's why I'm so impressed because like, even though you can easily judge someone who sticks around past like when they should have, you can totally understand it. That's why I'm actually impressed that you were able to kind of make that call beforehand, because that's a hard thing to do when so much of your life has been tied in it for so long.
Yeah, it was hard. It was probably the hardest thing I've ever done. And you know, and people always, even in the first year or two, everyone would be like, "Oh, why aren't you playing music, man? Like you're the best. Like, why are you playing music?" And it's you know, you start to think, oh, maybe I should be, you know, but you've really just got to go, no, I've made that decision and I'm not doing that anymore and that's not who I am. So you've just got to cut it off and, yeah, move forward.
Yeah. I mean, look, I hope I'm not dredging up painful memories of the past. They're just like,
oh, no.
Again, this is like it's sometimes when people are in this sphere and firstly, balancing the two can be good as well for long term, like having a normal life and doing your artistic endeavors. But yeah, the idea of just stopping it one day, I think that can be freaky to people who are in the arts because they're like, this never ends.
When does it end?
So it's like, that I'm so interested in that call being made and like, yeah, I respect it a lot.
Yeah, and you don't think it's ever going to be made when you're up and coming and you're progressing through your career. You're just like, oh, I'm doing this for the rest of my life, you know. And then until it is time, until one day you're just like, ah, okay, yeah, this just doesn't feel as fun anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's usually when it's a good sign to stop.
Yeah, and I think that's – I actually 100% agree. That's why I think like that part, which I understand, it's like once the fun – because it is one of those rare ones. You're doing it because it's fun.
Yes.
So like it's not fun anymore. Like it's not like other careers where you might be doing it because of this other thing. It's like, yeah, you might be making some money from it, but the fact is it's a lot of work for – the return on the hours you're putting in is probably not as high as people might realize, even if it looks well paid from the outside. And
that's right.
Yeah. If you're not loving it, it can just feel like such a grind.
That's right. And that's what I love about doing this, the air fryer thing, is because I can just like whip up a song like in, you know, half an hour and then release it to the world straight away, rather than like in the old days where you had to, you know, spend a year or two working and writing and nurturing an album and a song until it finally comes out in after a big build up, you know, and it's just by that time you've already moved on. I just love the fast pace of it, you know. It's really good.
And also you can do it from home, right? So if you've got a family.
That's right, yeah. I live at home by myself, so I've got plenty of time. So I'm just got little studio set up for making podcasts and music and videos and whatever I want, basically.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's so much more flexible. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, why not?
Now, okay, so I guess we should jump into the book choice. And to be honest, that little you've just told me has reframed your book choice a little bit, maybe, because I got to say, this is, I hadn't heard of it, and then I looked it up and I was like, whew.
Yeah.
It's an intense choice. Okay,
it is intense, hey? Yeah.
So without further ado, your book of choice for today is?
The Diving Bell and the Butterfly by, I don't know how to pronounce his name, hang on, Jean-Dominique Borby, I think is how you know. It's French. I don't know. There's actually a lot of words in that book where I just like had to skim through because of the French vocabulary, but you still get the idea, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I guess a quick summary of it, it's a memoir, so it's written of someone's life, and he suffered from locked-in syndrome, which is where you can't move any part of your body at all. So it's utter paralysis. Yeah, where all you can move is your eye. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, normally in lockdown syndrome, you can't move anything, but you're still completely aware of your surroundings, but you physically can't move. But this guy was lucky enough to have the use of one of his eyelids and could slightly move his head, like the slightest part, but like mentally he's completely fine, obviously because he wrote a book, but he's completely locked in. And I guess there's a lot of like the story of the book, there's a lot to it, but I think the main thing you get out of a book is this guy only has one eyelid and he wrote an entire book with that one eyelid. Okay. And I picked this one because in my head I was complaining when I had to write my cookbook, in my head going, this is so hard, you know. And then I always kept thinking of this guy. I'm like, nah, it's not hard, man. I'm sitting here on my kitchen bench just writing. That guy's got one eyelid and he's written a bestseller. Nah, just, you know, man up, Jake, for God's sakes.
Okay, that is like – it's firstly a hilarious reason for it to be chosen. Like not inspiring because of like just doing anything. It's literally just, oh, mate, he's making me look bad.
That's right.
I actually hadn't realized. I mean, you've heard of sometimes in wherever about this kind of condition. So I actually am interested in a few things to do. First, like the idea of just being utterly unable to move, like not even your eyes. Is that right? You can't even like look side to side.
No, you can't do anything. And in fact, one of his eyelids had to be sewn shut because it was getting infected because it wouldn't move. So yeah, you can't. You're just basically staring at the ceiling, one eye blinking. You could hear everything, but you just can't. You can't move. It's so hard to imagine. I mean, it's sort of scary. That scares me, actually. Really, that really does scare me.
Man, let me tell you, you've literally added a new fear to my life today. So thank you for that. Like, it's just the concept.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Okay. So, I know, I just didn't expect this going in. So I guess there's a lot I want to actually talk about with this, I guess, firstly. But the number one thing is, from your point of view, when did you first read this?
Oh, this is years ago. So this would have been when I was on tour of the band. So I'm going to say when did it come out in? It came out in 1995. So I was probably around 2008 or 2009, I would have read it, I'd say.
Yep.
And I picked it because it was a short book. So I wasn't scared of it. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's got a cool cover and it's not too long. That'll be fine. I'll give that a read. And I was just couldn't put it down.
You didn't know going in what it was about or like not in detail?
No, because we're doing a lot of driving back then, so just driving up and down the coast of Australia. So I'd just like before a tour, I'd just grab a book just from cover of the book sort of vibe and yeah, and I just got lucky with that one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if it's still stuck with you, if you're using it as inspiration for your own book, you know, 15 years later,
yeah, it's a good sign. And just for life too. I mean, people complain about some of the darndest of things, and I do too. You know, like I was signing my books earlier today, signing books for Booktopia, and I was annoyed. Like that is terrible to say out loud, but it was annoying. I was like, oh. Like, this is so annoying. And then I think back to this bloody guy and he's just like one eye writing a book. I'm like, he's beaten me again.
He's making me look bad again. Yeah.
Again.
Well, it is funny that it struck you while you were touring when you would have probably thought in a way you would have been complaining, but you would have felt like it was justified because you're up to so much. I guess so I'm just wondering like what made it stand out to you back then as well. Like surely it's not just – oh, I'm so lazy in comparison. Like what made it like feel like what made it stand out, I guess, yeah.
Look, you know, it's hard to say really. I mean, I think the fear of not living your life the fullest probably would have been the main thing. Where you just never know what's around the corner. Like this guy was, I think he was like the editor of the French Elle magazine or something, or Cosmo or something. Like he was like driving around in a Ferrari sort of thing. Like he was living the high life. Mm-hmm. And this sort of happened. So I guess it was just like, I just wanted to make sure that I really lived my life while I can, you know what I mean? And not have any regrets. Even though I have many, I still try not to.
Yeah. Yes, well, don't we all? But it's funny. And again, that's, I guess, to jump forward a bit, I guess, from there, because I do want to talk a bit more about how it was done. But yeah, I guess, again, going back to like the decision, you know, to take a step back and focus on yourself and see that thing, like people could be like, oh, it's that always that toss up, isn't it, in life in general, being like, oh, you should keep going with something and never give up. But then at the same time, it's like, nah, but you should move on from something as well. Like you should be.
Yeah.
Able to let go. And I think that battle inside everyone on the planet when it comes to everything is kind of, I mean, it's never ending. It's funny you took it that way, like as in you living your best life was like to move on and maybe do your own thing, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think from being able to stop doing the band, like just being able to make that decision, I think since then I have been able to cut off certain things in my life much easier, like things that aren't working, I just get rid of them and move on. You know, some relationships that I've had, you know, get rid of them, move on. And I think because I went through that whole that the big one with the band, I think that that's showed me, gave me the tools to handle it a lot easier. But yeah, I mean, I just always wonder how he goes to the toilet. You know, like it's just, where's the toilet? You know, like, come on, man.
Well, it looks like it gives a pretty, like, so the whole book is him, like, it's from his point of view, and like, spoiler for anyone, he died.
Yes.
Right after the book came out. So it's literally like, yes. It's a real unique, it does, like, I can see why it would hook in your brain, to be honest, because like, it's purely from his perspective after the stroke.
Yep.
Like as a person who's just sitting there, I guess.
That's right. He could have just given up. He could have just laid there and done nothing, you know. But he's written the book and he hasn't even got any, like, he can't enjoy the wealth of the book or anything like that either. You know, it's just, he just is just a man that had to tell his story, you know. It's beautiful.
Mm. No.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Like it actually, it really is. And I mean, this reminds me, this is a relatively obscure book, but Johnny Got His Gun is this book written, it's like an anti-war book, but it's about a soldier who gets injured and ends up actually worse off, if you can believe, than this. Obviously it's fictional. But it's kind of about the desire to live, essentially, no matter what. And it's like pointing out that actually that's more important than anything. So the whole idea is like, forget your nations, forget whatever else. Like just you just want to live. Like let people live. That's more important than anything. And really, I'm wondering, how much does it go into that at all, this book? Does it talk about that side of things? Like, yeah, does he appreciate the change in circumstances and how he still does want to be around and all that sort of things?
Definitely. Yeah, that's definitely a theme throughout, for sure. And it's just the whole idea of reminiscing about what he had to what he has now, and just taking that into perspective. Definitely.
Mm. It's interesting, that switch. Like, I this book is, man, I'm going to be honest, I didn't know this existed. Now I'm kind of obsessed with it. Like him looking back at that, because like this Johnny Got His Gun book that I mentioned, it has the same impact, but this one being real would totally do that, where it's like, yeah, the comparison, it would almost make it makes anything okay.
When you look
back at what it was like to now. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he, like even with food, for example, like he can't taste food anymore. So the food just goes through a tube and he's down his throat into his stomach. So he has to like literally imagine himself cooking food and what it tastes like and the smell of that as he's getting tube fed, so that he feels more human. Right. Can you imagine having to do that? Like you know the food's going into you, but to feel more human, you have to imagine the process of the food. It's giving me a tear thinking about it. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, though, I mean that. Yeah, this is like I said, this is wild. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess. Let's do the most labored segue ever and say, speaking of food, let's talk about air fryers.
That's where we went, eh? Straight from there. So good. Oh, my God. Has there ever been a podcast where it goes from like high energy, hilarious, happies to like almost crying, like in such a split second? It's
yeah,
amazing.
I know. It's part of the fun, I guess. But let's go back to food for a little bit, then we'll see what happens. But like, because I'm curious about like this. It seems so meaningless compared to what we've just talked about. But, you know, that is life as well. The whole point is food is taste and it does matter. So I guess two things with that, and one can tie into your new book as well. The way you described how you got into this whole Pimp Your Air Fryer game is pretty funny because, like, it seems so undeserved. Like, at the same time, you were just doing it yourself, your own recipes, like this idea of a 7-minute, you chuck the bacon, which I still don't really understand. So did you crack the eggs on top of the bacon?
Yeah, no, so it's just a piece of bread, and then you press a little divot with your fingers into the bread, and then crack the egg into the bread, and then put a piece of bacon on top, and then put it in the air fryer, and that's it. And then you just put it in there, press the button, and you walk away, and you come back, and you've got bacon and egg on toast. You don't have to nurse it. You don't have to scrape the egg. You don't have to do anything.
So you can
go back, go put your pajamas on and go to the toilet or whatever, come back and it's all breakfast is done. It's like having a virtual assistant.
Man, that sounds
assistant, an actual assistant.
Yeah. I love that because I'm a recent switch to I always try to do cooking, but one of my things is I'm just obsessed with it being actually as fast as possible because you have so many recipe is always like, it takes 15 minutes to prepare and then I'm taking an hour, which I assume probably I'm not as good a cutter as other people, but sometimes it does seem very unrealistic what kind of people say is a recipe. Is your book full of stuff which is that easy and that fast?
It's all, most of it's pretty easy and fast. Like I made it so that there's nothing too technical in it, and that's purely out of the fact that I don't know anything technical. but yeah, it's all super easy. There is even a, I've got to refresh my memory here, but I believe there's even a chapter there that's, called Crazy Hacks, which is a whole bunch of recipes that basically takes away what you thought how to make that item and it makes it quicker and easier. There's like these just 2-ingredient peanut butter cookies, right? It's the best thing ever. You wouldn't even believe it, right? It's just, you get some peanut butter. And then you put a little bit of maple syrup in with the peanut butter and then you just mix it and it turns into cookie dough. Can you believe it? It sounds ridiculous. It sounds unbelievable, right? It turns into the texture of cookie dough and then you put it in the air fryer and you've got cookies. There's nothing else to add. It's so easy. It's unbelievable.
Look, this is sounding pretty good, actually. I've got to say. This is sounding magical.
It's magic.
Right up my alley. I love it.
Well, that's it. You don't have to get out the tray to get the bake, get out the flour, get out the butter, get out all this stuff. It's just put a bit of that in, put a bit of that in, give it a bit of a mix and put it in. That's it. That's all you need. That's what I should have made the instructions, actually. Just put a bit of that in, put a bit of that in.
Yeah.
Bob's your uncle.
That's exactly. Way easier. You can fit way more in. Is that how'd you come up with these recipes? Is this like, did you get suggestions from people, kind of do some testing yourself?
No, I've just been cooking for forever. Like since I was a kid, my mum and dad love cooking, and I've just been always cooking. So I think once you've sort of figured out the fundamentals of how things mix together and what some ingredients do to other ingredients, you can sort of just figure out anything, really. It's like a science. It's also based on feel as well. Like with those cookies, I just had some peanut butter and I had some maple syrup. It was on the bench. So that was just a lucky one. I was like, what happens when you put these two together? And I was like, this is going to be disgusting. And then all of a sudden I'm going, that looks like cookie dough. So some of them are accidents. And some of them are just different ways of using ingredients, I guess. Yeah.
I'm so intrigued. Loved you just sitting there just combining the two. Too much time on your hands. I'm sure there's some connoisseurs right now who are disgusted in what we're saying to each other, but I want
100%.
Yeah. So with this, the air fryer guy, right? I'm curious now because TikTok obviously is now the biggest thing in the world. Instagram is hanging itself, attempting to be the same thing. To anyone who's not listening to this, who doesn't know, Instagram is a photo sharing app that used to be good until it got bought by Instagram or Facebook, which now Meta. And TikTok is a video viewing app that is dominating the world right now. Your main focus is TikTok, is that right, with the stuff you put out?
I put it both out on TikTok and Instagram and at the same time. So right. I find like I have a bigger following. Like there's, I think it's like 1.8 million followers on TikTok and then 200 and something thousand on Instagram. But I find that they're very different audiences, but also a good response from both. So I'm on the fence which one I like the most, you know.
So and is that just it? Is it like every day or do you have a system in place? How do you kind of do it?
Oh, no. Oh, it's random as. So sometimes I don't post for 2 weeks because I'm doing other stuff. And then sometimes I'll do like 4 posts in a day. I'm not regimented in any sort of way in my life. So I only do things when I'm inspired. So, and I don't just post just because. So, yeah.
All right.
I don't do it in the regular sense of social media where, you know, I think some people have like calendar posts and they do it all this and they have all these hashtag things and I don't know, mate. I just make a recipe, sing a song and put it out there and then hope for the best. And it's worked so far. So
yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's working great, yeah. I guess because it's got that personal like flavor to it, I guess. Pun not intended, I just realized. I'm not that cheap.
I didn't mind it. It's pretty good.
Just out of curiosity now as well, do you use TikTok and Instagram?
Yeah, I do. I do. I use TikTok a lot.
You've been hooked in?
Yeah, usually when I'm just before bed, before going to bed. and usually when I'm like waiting in a waiting room, like, you know, when you're waiting for something, it's a good way to, because time goes so fast. Whoever developed it, they've just figured out how to get you on there and not get you off. So I try not to go on social media that much, but probably still too much. But I actually learned so much from TikTok. Like I don't know if you're on it or whoever, if anyone's on it, they'll know that you learn more from TikTok than you did from high school, I reckon.
Yeah. No, look, I've heard.
I did anyway.
That's the
some of the craziest things, hey. Like I just learned how to cut a watermelon the other day. Someone cut this watermelon. And I was like, oh, my God, that's saved me hours. Couldn't believe it. They got like a half a watermelon, right? You cut it in half, so you've got like a, looks like that, half a watermelon. And then from the sides, you cut into the sides, like levels into the sides, and then in the middle, you cut around in the circle and then cut it into cubes, and you turn it out upside down, it just all comes out in perfect cubes. It was unbelievable.
Worked when you tried
it? Worked. Absolutely worked.
Oh, yeah. Now, look, I think that is TikTok's the hack videos, which, hey, you're on that wave yourself of like actual good hacks that are useful and save time and actually work. I think that seems what it's really made for more than anything else.
Yeah, that's right. But I sometimes throw in some hacks that don't work just to keep everyone on their toes. You know what I mean? Like just throw in a couple of videos of like, oh, look what I made in this. Like the big one that I did was pancakes. So I made a stack of 6 pancakes in the air fryer. And just put some, like basically I just put a bit of baking paper, then like a spoon of pancake mix, then more baking paper, then a spoon of pancake mix and just did 6 layers and then pulled it out and it was just 6 perfect pancakes. And oh my God, the amount of hate I got from that, it was the best. There's like 100 YouTube videos of people trying to recreate it and it's just like, oh, I just bought the golden circle pancakes. I got them from the shop.
Oh, that's great. That is like, look, funnily enough, that's, you're doing it right, really.
Yeah. Right. You got to have some fun, eh?
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's great. And I guess now I've just realized, let me just think if I should try to tie it back with this grim book choice you've done.
Oh, so good.
I feel like you're almost trolling me now with this. It's amazing the difference because like I know, because I did look over, I'm looking over the Wikipedia thing as we're talking, just the summary, and it talks about food quite a bit, which is interesting that that's with your food and stuff. And but you know, that's whatever, I guess. The one last part, look, I you know, we could sit here all day and try to psychoanalyze what made this book special to you, you know, but we both got things to do. Because I do want to try to mention the book at least one more time. It sounds like if someone was unable to move, is this covered in the book at all? Like, did he have any appreciation for music and things like that? Song?
Not that I can remember. I'm trying to think. I can't remember off the top of my head. It doesn't stick out to me.
Yeah, that's right.
No, but there may be. I feel like if you are in lockdown, like, and you can hear, like, that would be one of the main things that would get you through, wouldn't it? Like,
I mean, like, if that's so, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But
that's one of the
for me ones. Anyway.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm asking, to tie it back to you, because with your music background, I guess, yeah, and you're still singing songs in these TikTok vids. Is that still a big part of live music? Do you still play? Do you still listen? Do you still do anything, engage with it much?
No. It's funny. Like, since I stopped playing, haven't been to a live show since. I rarely listen to music at all. Like, the only time I ever listen is when I'm in the car and the radio turns on. But apart from that, no, I don't. I just, the only other music I listen to is the jingles that I make. So really? That's it. Yeah. Or whatever's forced to me, like on TikTok, if it comes up, like I just don't go out of my way to listen to music at all, which is weird because prior to quitting the band, everything, that's all I did. All I did was listen and play and try and figure out music and go to live shows, and that's all I did. And then now just nothing, not a single thing. And I have no intention to either, which is – it's kind of like if you work at McDonald's and you like eat heaps of cheeseburgers for like 15 years, and then you quit McDonald's, and then you don't really want to go to the drive-thru and get a cheeseburger, do you? You've had so many.
Yeah. Like, true, but it's just, I mean, that takes on an almost grim perspective, like, to not even listen to, like, especially because I'm guessing you would have listened to a lot of everything back then, so just surprising to cut that out completely. Even if you just got stuck back then, so you didn't listen to anything new, but you listen to your old stuff, I don't know, it just seems a bit out there.
Yeah, I know. I just don't have any drive to listen. Like, I used to think every little moment I had spare, I'd like listen to music. I always have music in the house, but now I just, and I'm only just realizing this. Like, I don't really know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't purposely do it. I just don't really listen to music.
No music in this house.
No, that's right. I just don't do it, and definitely don't go to live shows. I couldn't go to another live show. Oh, it'll kill me.
Oh, well, look, no, you get to a certain age, and that kind of stuff does start losing its appeal.
That's for sure.
Yeah, like maybe if you could sit in, but then if sitting in the audience or something, it just defeats the purpose of, like, sitting in somewhere distant. It's like you want to go to a live show to be in amongst it, and then you get to a certain age, you're like, oh, that's, and then I've got to line up for the toilets. Nah. Nah,
yeah, I've been amongst it. I'm happy to steer clear of it now.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
Brings you back to that book as well. Like, why aren't I going to live shows all the time? You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. I could have locked-in syndrome tomorrow, and all I wished was to go and see a live band. You know what I mean? Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, we just take life for granted.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same token, like, firstly, you've always got your memory. He remembered his food tasting. You can remember your live shows, and you would have a more first-person perspective of live shows than most people, I think.
Well, I was a musician, so I've got some memory, we'll say.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the other one, which is like, and which you've had in your own journey, I would say, it's not necessarily about squeezing every last, like, drag, overstaying your world, like, you know, squeezing every last second, every last drop, but like, that just means being true to how you're feeling, I would say, more than anything
that's
else.
That's true.
Yeah, like the time wasted. You could be living the most high-flying life, just going to different countries every week and different people, drinks, out, and that could be actually the worst. You could be afterwards being like, man, I hated that. Like,
why that's was right, I doing yeah.
that? Like, isn't that
that's some, right.
Yeah, so I think it's a – it always comes back to, yeah. Are you making yourself larger when you do it? I think I heard someone say that once, and I was like, that's a good way of phrasing it. Not happy or sad. Is this making you bigger or smaller?
Which I think
is a really nice way of phrasing that idea.
That is. That is nice.
Yeah. Take the happy and sad out of it, those dumb emotions.
Get what, are <they? laughs> What are they? What are they?
Meaningless. That's what I always say. Okay. Well, look, we have jumped around a lot. So I guess one more thing before I sign off along the same lines. Do you read much now? Do you read many books?
No.
Memoir sat in your appreciation.
Well, I do not. At that time. I'm not an avid reader, no. The last book I read was Atomic Habits, which was, yeah. I think I got halfway through it, which defeats the purpose of that book. So, yeah, no, not a massive reader. Which scared me a little bit coming onto this show. And I had a quick listen to the show, and I was like, oh, they're going to talk about their favorite book. I was like, ah, shivers. What books have I read that I remember? So yeah, so that
the most intense book in the world.
Well, that's probably why I still remember it, because it was so intense, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to read a lot of medieval fantasy and that sort of stuff, but I just trying to remember that all blends into each other. So, and I didn't want to. Yeah, I thought this was fitting because of the struggle I had to write my book.
that is not fitting.
Not at all.
Oh my god, that is it's a stretch.
Yeah, oh, just slightly. Yeah.
No, look, understand. It just sounds like you were reading, you were listening to music back in the day, and now nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Just sitting around.
Sitting around. No, now I'm just creating. So now I'm just here instead of listening and reading. Now I'm just making. So creating things. So the opposite.
There exactly. You. That's always an important part of I think any healthy thing should involve plenty of that.
Oh, I agree, definitely.
Okay, well, look, I think we've covered off a lot of bases there. You've given me a new thing to have a phobia about, so it's been a great chat, I feel like.
you should have a read of that book if you get the chance. It's a pretty quick read, but yeah, it's a good one. It'll scare you for sure.
No, that's it sounds good. And I guess do you want to give a shout out to anyone to check you out anywhere or anything?
Oh yeah. I've got a podcast if you want to listen to it. It's called the Air Fryer Guy Podcast. Nice. And we talk about all sorts of crap. There's lots of swearing, so I apologize in advance.
That's okay. There's a lot of swearing books too, don't worry.
Yeah, good.
Okay, great. Well, Jake, thanks so much for being on. I'll put all the links to everything you have in the show notes anyway. And yeah, thanks for being on Bookish.
No worries. Thanks heaps.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows we do here at Sans Pants Radio, then why not subscribe to SansPantsPlus.com? For as little as $5 a month, you could have access to a whole bunch of bonus shows and content. Once again, that's SansPantsPlus.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.